Wow, that was something else last Saturday. Baylor over Texas, and in pretty dominating, convincing fashion. Did he drop off? Oh, okay. Jeff, what were your thoughts on what you saw unfold on Saturday as the Horns dropped one in Waco?
Wasn't good. There was some stuff I've been calling for Texas to do from kind of an offensive innovation standpoint, just some motions and different things and design quarterback runs for Sam Ehlinger that we saw on that first drive. I think the second drive of the game, I wrote down in my notes, I said, Texas can't block Baylor. This game is over. And to me, that's really what it came down to. I mean, Baylor dominated that game on the lines of scrimmage, specifically their offensive line, their defensive line against the Texas offensive line. And it's just, I think it's just kind of where Texas is offensively right now. I think, the early season success that they've had, I think there's tape out now, plenty of tape, and teams know how to defend them. I think Tom Herman and the offensive staff have not done a good job of changing tendencies, especially at times where, you don't have Colin Johnson in the lineup. You don't have Cade Brewer, and so your tight end position isn't probably where it should be. I think they've done a really bad job evolving this offense, and then just to have the kind of game plan they had, and again the inability to make adjustments up front and really handle Baylor in any way, shape, or form, it was going to be a bad day. I do think the Texas defense is playing better, relatively speaking. The effort's still there. I do think Todd Orlando now, Craig, has kind of developed a track record of, when he's facing offenses that like bigger personnel. Baylor runs a lot of stuff at times with 12 personnel with two tight ends. K-State runs big sets. Iowa State runs big sets. I think it kind of condenses the field a little bit, and that's more of in his wheelhouse. And that's going to be the challenge against Texas Tech on Friday, is when you face kind of more of a wide-open offense, how does this defense react all of a sudden? But this offense, it's stuck in neutral, and that's why I think you're going to see some things change as early as this weekend.
And Jeff, I just got to ask, as far as the season goes, when did things, in your opinion, start to get off the track, start, or the train start to get off the track?
That's tough to say, Q. I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, I think we kind of saw the ugly game they played on the road against West Virginia. I think there were some things that popped up in that game schematically, really on both sides, that led you to believe, okay, I don't think all is right. I think when you look at, and everybody deals with injuries, but I think as beat up as Texas got in that back-to-back stretch of games in September where they had LSU and Oklahoma State at home, they just weren't a healthy football team coming out of those two games. And then I think the Oklahoma game, I think that really was kind of the gut punch that said, okay, not only is this season probably not going to reach whatever ceiling it had, but now you're looking at where the floor is, and maybe that's a little bit lower than you thought, just how bad it was. I mean, I know Texas lost by a touchdown, but anybody who watched that game, it felt like Texas lost that game by two or three scores, just the way it unfolded. So I think it was kind of the Oklahoma game. And then I said, like I said, I think from there, it's just, they had that game where they had to get a walk-off field goal to beat Kansas. I just don't think this staff, again, has done a good job of knowing their personnel, making adjustments on the fly. And quite frankly, the game plans and the attitude towards opponents at times have been arrogant. And I think that's been pretty obvious in the way some of these games have unfolded.
Obviously, Baylor's defensive line is really good. But, Jeff, were you surprised at just kind of how they mauled that Texas O-line so physically on Saturday?
Yeah, Steve, I am, because, this Texas offensive line, I mean, when you look at it, man for man, it's a talented group. I mean, you Parker Braun's going to have a chance to play at the next level. Zach Shackelford's a four-year starter. Sam Cosmi, you've seen his name thrown around in some kind of NFL mock draft type stuff early on. And he's, a draft-eligible sophomore. So they've got talent there. But I think, again, I go back to the West Virginia game in October, and that was a game where I think that was really the first time where an opposing defense said, hey, they've got a redshirt freshman guard, a senior guard who's played his whole career in a triple option offense. Let's see if they can handle some stunts and some pressure. And they didn't. And you just saw defenses game after game. Oklahoma did it. Kansas did it. Gary Patterson did it. They've just thrown simple stunts and twists at Texas, and they haven't been able to handle them. But I think the difference on Saturday was, again, just I think Texas knew Baylor's defensive line was really good, but they just straight up lost one-on-one battles on Saturday. I mean, and it was, yeah. So I guess the long answer is yeah, it was shocking, and I knew Baylor had the advantage there. I just didn't think it would be, you know, as wide of an advantage as it ended up being.
Jeff Hal Horns, 24/7, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. Jeff, you've seen Baylor over the last 3 years. Matt Rhule from 1-11 to 10-1, now booking a spot in the Big 12 title game and can get 11 wins versus Kansas on Saturday. So you mentioned the D-line. A lot of people are learning about them now. Was there anything else about just Baylor that stood out to you from what you saw on Saturday?
Yeah, and not to directly compare them to LSU, because LSU's got bigger safeties, but I think the way, you know, when you look at guys like Chris Miller and guys like that on the back end, guys that have some versatility to them, that are willing to throw their bodies around, you know, you trust them in coverage. I just think how dynamic they are in the middle of the field, really, when you look from, you know, Bramion Roy at nose, and then you go to Terrell Bernard at linebacker, and Miller and those guys at safety. I just think they're really dynamic up the middle, and I think anytime you're that on defense, you know, you're going to have a chance. If Clay Johnson were healthy, I'm sure you guys have asked yourself the same question. I really wonder how much better this defense would be if you had him at linebacker. But I'm just really impressed, number one, Craig, with their effort and the way they play defensively, and number two, with their team speed. And I think anytime you've got a guy like Charlie Brewer, quarterback, it's similar to things I've said about Texas. Anytime you've got a guy like that, a quarterback that can make plays that you trust to run the offense, in this league, you're going to have a chance. And then you sprinkle in. I don't think their running backs are great, but they're good enough. And then anytime you've got a guy like Denzel Mims, that you've either got to make a decision, okay, do you bracket him? How do you handle him? It's really going to open up everything else, you know, the rest of the offense for everybody. So I think Baylor, honestly, they might be a little bit better version of the Texas team we saw last year when you look at just how they play complementary football, the way they fly around on defense, and then, you know, kind of having one just impossibly hard matchup on the outside offensively, and then everything just kind of trickles down from there.
Before you hopped on with us, we were talking about potential changes that could happen to Tom Herman's staff, something he somewhat alluded to in his press conference earlier in the week. What do you think that details? What do you think that means? Who do you think may be on the outside looking in?
Well, you know, the thing they've got, Q, is they've got 8 assistant coaches, Tim Beck, the co-offensive coordinator, being one of those guys that have contracts that expire after the season. The only 2 assistant coaches who are, on contracts that extend beyond this season into 2020 and don't expire until early 2021 are Todd Orlando and Herb Hand. I do think you're going to see in some way, shape, or form changes on the offensive side of the ball, because that thing is just deteriorated to the point where it's just not good and it's a bad product. Like I said, they haven't evolved. The regression of Sam Ellinger, the fact that they've become predictable and easy to game plan against, and, you know, you really basically get held to a field goal against Baylor, the garbage time touchdown. You can count that for whatever it is. But I think that's where it's got to be. I think this offense under Tom Herman, you know, it's got to evolve. It's got to get better. And not that it's a bad offense in and of itself, but it just hasn't made the kind of the evolution and the steps forward that it's needed to. And, you know, again, I know that's the side of the ball where, you know, when Tom Herman talks about things like lack of development, I think you look at it on offense. So there's no reason why guys like Jake Smith or Marcus Washington should have hit the wall that they hit in the middle of the season and not been able to recover from that or get through that. You know, we talked about the issues on the offensive line. The tight end position is more of a liability than anything else right now. So I think if you see changes, I think you're more likely to see them on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball. I think one thing to potentially look at on defense is, do you take one of your assistant spots on offense and give it to Todd Orlando to maybe help shore some things up?
What is the message they're preaching to the guys now, Jeff? Just try to win these last couple games and finish strong?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's coming from the – I know the message from the top has been do it for the seniors, but I'll tell you what the – if you're a Longhorn fan looking for a silver lining, and you're probably not at this point because it feels like a wasted year, and in a lot of ways it is, this team still has fight in it. And I don't know – you know, it's hard to put a finger on. Do they still believe in Tom Herman? Are they playing kind of for self-pride? Are they playing for each other? I don't know, but the effort is still there. And I really believe if that effort's there on Friday against Texas Tech, they'll win that ball game, because when you look at this Texas offense, given everything I said just a minute ago, they've moved the ball when they've faced the defenses that are in the bottom tier of the Big 12. They've been able to move the ball against Kansas, against West Virginia, against Kansas State, and Texas Tech certainly qualifies as one of those defenses. But to me, it's all about effort on Friday. If the effort's there, I think Texas wins the game. If they come out flat or they've mailed it in, I think they've got no chance. And then I think at that point, against the Texas Tech team kind of playing their de facto bowl game, you're kind of looking at a 500 finish right in the eye, and there's no way even the person looking at it through the most pessimistic view would have predicted that when the season started.
Jeff, I watched Tom Herman's post game. I typically do that, you know, whoever Baylor plays, a win or loss, just to see what an opposing coach has to say. And watched a bit of his press conference earlier this week as well. Have you ever seen him? You know, I know it's been 3 years now, but have you ever seen him quite at that low point? Or have there been some other games where he's kind of been down in the dumps like that?
No, this is. We've seen him angry. We've seen him defiant at times. I've seen him upset. But I've never seen him lost, Craig. And that's the post, you know, being in the stadium on Saturday for post game and then being at the press conference on Monday. This is a coach who either A, doesn't have answers, or B, knows what the answers are and is struggling at a point to get there. And I think the answers are, in some way, shape, or form, I think going to be asking some guys on this coaching staff he's grown really close with to move on. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I've seen Tom Herman express a number of different emotions, but I don't think I've seen him just at a loss like he was, you know, on Saturday and Monday. And I think a lot of that goes to just kind of where this offense is. And again, being 6-5 going into the last game, I thought there's the way this staff talked in the offseason and the way we heard things behind the scenes, there's no way Tom Herman could have ever thought that was going to be the situation.
Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7. The Longhorns get the Red Raiders on Friday at 11 a.m. Tech. It's their final game of the year. They can't go bowling at 4-7. And for UT, looking to go to 7-5 and avoid being 500 heading into bowl season. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Howe 24/7, at Jeff Howe 247, and check out Horns 24/7 as well for all things Texas Longhorns. Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for your time today, and I hope you and the family have a good time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well.